one. Hey, YouTube.
Good morning, tubers. How are you? We are so glad you have decided to wake up and join us, or not wake up. I guess they can watch it anytime.
That's true. On demand.
On demand. We are now on demand. How cool is that? But we are so glad you've decided to choose us to watch. You have so many options, and thank you for choosing us.
I want to ask you to hold that thought.
Okay. I'm going to hold that thought.
And I want you to think of three letters.
Okay.
L-S-S.
L-S-S.
Stands for...
Love somebody special.
Wrong.
Okay.
Stands for like,
mm-hmm.
subscribe, and share. And that's what we want you guys to do. We want you to like, subscribe, and share this YouTube channel. And if you do, I believe there's prizes.
Yes, prizes. Who doesn't like prizes?
Yeah, Jason gives gifts to everybody but us.
I know. We get the short end of the stick. Oh, well. It's good. But if you'll do that for us, that would be fantastic. We are in week 3 of Take It Back. And, funny enough, it is entitled
Hold That Thought.
So, enjoy this Sunday, and we're glad you chose us.
See ya. Welcome to week 3 of Take It Back. You have to say it like that. You have to say it really deliberately with the pause in between all three so that you sound like you really intend to take it back. So let's try it. Ready? Take it back. We are learning some biblical principles on how to take back our joy, take back our strength, take back our peace. Some of us take back our faith. Part of the human experience is going through seasons of loss and failure, and when you do, your enemy, he just loves it. And he loves to steal your joy, he loves to take your strength, and he would love to take your faith away. But as a believer and follower in Jesus, you have everything you need to take it back. And this is week 3. And the thing we're going to talk about today, if we could master this principle, if we could apply this in such a way that we live it out every day in our life, I truly believe this principle has the most potential to impact your life. It has great potential to improve your relationships. It can really make your faith grow deeper than you've ever thought it could grow. It could give you strength that you didn't know you had. It can even just kind of center yourself and anchor who you are in your identity. If we could learn to master this principle that we're going to look at today, I believe today's message could be the most essential factor in taking back what our enemy has taken from us. So I can't wait for you to hear what this principle is. But right now, I just want to pause and say thank you for joining us on the YouTube. We are in the partially finished new YouTube studio. I would like to apologize for two things right off the bat. One, you might hear in the background what sounds like a freight train. That's just my heater. And I have tried to get the noise out. I can't turn it off because it's about 9 degrees outside. And well, my wife has this thing about staying warm and staying alive. So the heat's gonna be on and you might hear it in the background. So I apologize for that. Also, it's a little bit echoey in here. We've ordered some sound deadening rugs and some sound deadening baffles, and you can't see them, but I've got them all over this place. But it's still a little echoey. Just be aware that we are working on that. We're going to make it better here. Probably by next week's message, we'll have all that stuff sorted out. This is a great time for me to ask you, if you're a YouTube West maniac, would you please like this video? Would you please subscribe to our channel? And would you take a minute just to share this? It's a little bit more difficult if you're watching this on your smart TV, but you can hit the menu and you can find the More tab. And you can find all those options, like, subscribe, and share. And it might sound like a really self-serving thing for me to say that. It has nothing to do with me. When you do that, it does a couple things for us as a church. One, it opens up more doors to more analytics. It helps us really figure out who's watching, when they're watching, why they're watching, and it helps us know how best to tailor what we do to meet your needs. Also, you can sit right in your living room or in your RV or in your car or wherever you are watching this, and you can push the gospel, you can push this most essential message around the world just by hitting share and sharing it with your friends. I promise you, as you're listening to this message today, some of you are going to think, oh gosh, I need this, but so does, all you have to do is push share, and you can push that out. Also, I still have some 80s themed t-shirts that are super cool, designed by my daughter-in-law, and if you will email me at this email address and tell me your size and your mailing address, we will send you a super cool 80s themed t-shirt just to say thank you for being part of our YouTube West Maniac Church family. I want to talk to you today about holding that thought. Hold that thought. Has anybody ever said that to you? It's an indication that something else is about to happen and you need to put kind of a mental bookmark in whatever you were thinking about. And what you think about, holding your thoughts, the things you allow to pass through your mind are so, so important. So I want to talk to you today about holding that thought. Think about this. You cannot live right when you're thinking wrong. I think most of us, we want to live right. We want to live in a way that brings God glory. We want to make right decisions. We want to do what's right for our kids, for our marriages, for our friends, for our family. We want to live right, but you can't live right if you're thinking wrong. And so what you think about, the things that you let through your brain, they're so important. And in a very real way, here's the bottom line. I want you to think about this statement. The thoughts you hold on to determine the future you're headed to. The thoughts you hold on to determine the future you're headed to. Chew on that for a minute. Think about that for a second. I find that to be true in my life. The thoughts that I hold on to determine the future I'm headed to. The thoughts you allow to stay in your mind, they affect everything. They affect the way you talk. They affect the way you treat people. They affect the way you believe. They affect your behavior. The thoughts that you allow to stay in your brain, the thoughts that you're holding on to, they are determining the future that you're headed to. You want to look at where you're going? You just think about what you're thinking about. If you want to live right, you have to think right. You can't live right and think wrong. And so we have to figure out, as followers of Jesus, what does it look like to control our mind? And believe it or not, this is an important principle in Scripture. It might sound like, you know, modern mumbo jumbo, but it's not. This is something that Paul gave us some pretty important instructions about. You can even go back in the Old Testament, and David even talked about controlling your mind, controlling your thoughts. We've been told that the greatest commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your, say it, mind. If Jesus isn't Lord of our thoughts, that's an area of our life that's out of control. Jesus is King, and we need to allow Him to be King of the things we think about. So let's look at what Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. He gives us these instructions, and really it's more of an example than an instruction, but it is definitely a principle that we have to live by. 2 Corinthians 10, 1 through 2. By the humility and gentleness of Christ, I appeal to you, I, Paul, who am timid when I am face to face with you, but I'm bold toward you when I'm away. I beg you that when I come, I may not have to be as bold as I expect to be toward some people who think that we live by the standards of this world. Verse 3, for though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. This is huge, and we're not going to get to the mind part yet. I just want us to set this scene up. Paul is saying, you know, normally when I'm with you, I try to just control the way I speak to you. I'm kind of timid in front of you, and then when I'm away, I write you letters that are pretty strong and bold. But I'm going to show up, and your behavior is going to determine whether or not I have to be bold in front of you and speak harshly to you. And then he talks about this spiritual battle. And he wants to remind those of us that follow Jesus that there is a battle, and there is a battlefield that we all have to step onto. But we don't wage war like the world does. We don't wage war like our culture does. We wage war with spiritual weapons. And he even says, these weapons, they have the power to pull down strongholds. And let me be real frank with you. Some of you, the way you've been thinking, your thoughts, you've been in the same groove for so long. You've been allowing the same thoughts to take root in your brain for so long. It is going to take a battle for you to root them out, to tear down the stronghold that they have developed in your mind. But you have what it takes because the Holy Spirit of Jesus lives in you. And with his power, you have the power to tear down every stronghold that your thoughts have started to build in your mind. As Paul wants to remind us, as you fight this battle, as you step up into this battlefield, you need to rise up and be ready to pull down the strongholds of your mind. Listen to what he says as he finishes this thought. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And here it is. And we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. We take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. That's it, guys. That's, I think, the most essential element we need in taking back what our enemy has taken from us. Week one, we learned that we have to learn to guard ourselves, keep ourselves, watch this man, be always on the alert for who I am and what I'm doing, watch this man. And then last week, we talked about the things that we look at and how the lamp is the eye to the body. If we want to take back our joy, take back our strength, take back our peace, we have to be careful what we look at, what we look to, and what we look for. But this one, this really begins the process. Maybe we should have started with this one, looking back in hindsight, but I think this is the most critical one. And if we can learn this principle, if we can learn the principle of taking captive every thought and then making that thought obedient to Christ, if we can master that, if we can learn to discipline ourselves enough to do what Paul is saying, it can literally change your life. It can certainly change your relationships. It can have a big impact on your life if you learn to take every thought captive. If you don't take your thoughts captive, you'll become the prisoner. I bet you know somebody who is just a captive. They're a prisoner to the terrible thinking, the thoughts that go through their mind. I had a pastor who used to use the word stinking thinking. Some of us, we are our own prisoner. We have locked ourselves down, and we are the prisoner because of the thoughts we allow in here. Every thought that passes through here does not have to stay in here. You can take it captive. You can lock it down, and then you can make it obedient to Christ. And this is a huge principle that we need to apply, this idea that not everything I think about deserves the same energy. Not everything I think about or thought that pops into my head deserves to stay there. We have to learn this discipline of taking captive every thought and making those thoughts obedient to our Savior. Sometimes we just have to remind ourselves when a dumb thought, when a wrong thought, when a lustful thought, when an evil thought goes into our brain, we have to remind ourselves, listen, this body and this brain does not belong to me. It belongs to Jesus. It is under new management. He is my king. I am not the king of my life. I'm not the Lord of my life. Jesus is. And Jesus, you got to help me take these thoughts captive because they're making me head in the wrong direction. Have you ever heard the phrase, follow that train of thought, or what's your train of thought? That's a great way to think about thinking, a train. One of my favorite things to do when we go to Ukraine is take a group of people on the subway in Kyiv, Ukraine. It is the deepest subway in the entire world, 700 meters down. I have no idea what meters are. It seems like a lot, but it's the deepest subway in the world. And one of the most stressful parts of the trip for me, but also one of the most exciting, is to take these people down these escalators, and it seems like you're never going to get off an escalator. You can't see the bottom, and you just ride and ride and ride, and you get to the bottom, and you all stand in line, and you shove everybody onto this train, and you hope you're on the right one. It is so important for me as the leader of those groups to make sure I have my little card that's a printout of all the subway trains and where they're headed and where they're going. And it's so important that I make sure I get on the right train, that I put my people on the right train, or we're going to end up someplace where we don't want to be. It's the same thing with your thoughts. You have to think of your thoughts as a train. Where is this train going? If I get on this train, where will it take me? If you allow this thought to stay, where's it going to take you? If you allow that thought to stay, where will you end up? What's your train of thinking? Think of your thinking as a train. Do I really want to get on this train? Do I know where it's ending? Do I know where it's going to take me? Do I know where I'm going to end up if I get on this train? If I allow this thought to stay, what's the result? Where am I going? What am I thinking about? Now, there are some huge benefits to disciplining ourselves, and really that's the word for the day, is that we have to be disciplined in this. You can't be a disciple without discipline. If we could learn to discipline ourselves and take every thought captive, you need to know there are some huge benefits. There are some things that make you a better human being and make you just better at living life if you can discipline yourself in this principle of taking captive every thought and making every thought obedient to Christ. I just want to list a few. I think there's a whole lot more, but for our purposes today and the time we have, I just want to list these. If you can learn to take your thoughts captive, it will anchor your identity. This is so important in our world when everyone is trying to tell you who you are and who you are not. Especially for men, it is so easy for us as men to have stinking thinking, wrong thoughts about our identity. A lot of us really believe that we are what we do. Like if you ask some, the first time you meet somebody, generally the question is, well, what do you do? And we equate what we do with who we are, and that is wrong thinking. That is a thought that a lot of us have allowed into our brain, and it has taken root, and it's built a stronghold that I am a, whatever your career or whatever your job is. And I want you to know, you are so much more than what you do. You are a child of the King of Kings. And when you allow that thought to replace other thoughts, your identity just gets anchored. When your identity is anchored in the truth of who you are as a follower of Jesus, as a child of God, that identity sets you free. You can just live comfortable in your own skin knowing who you are. But some of you, you've allowed these thoughts, what culture says, what the beauty culture says, what your boss says, you've allowed these thoughts to enter your brain, and that's defining who you are, how you look, or what you do, or what you eat. Some of us, those are the thoughts that we've allowed to stay, and it's messing up our identity. Jesus wants us to make sure our identity is rooted in Him, and when you begin to think right, it anchors your identity. When you begin to think right and take your thoughts captive, it will also improve your relationships. If you want to improve your marriage, if you want to improve the relationship you have with your kids, with your parents, with really anybody, it starts with the thoughts that you let in here. And a great place to just switch the way you think is to let 1 Corinthians chapter 13 just move stinking thinking out and grow new thoughts. If you want to learn how to improve your relationships, just open up your Bible, look at 1 Corinthians 13, where it says love is and love does. And let those thoughts push out all the wrong thoughts in your mind. And I guarantee you, the more you think about those thoughts in 1 Corinthians 13, the more your relationships will improve. I have seen that over and over in my own life, in other people's lives. The more I allow the Word of God to influence my thinking, the more peace and harmony I experience in my relationships. Most relationship problems, they occur, and they continue to happen because of the way we think. You want to improve those relationships? Take captive every thought. Make it obedient to Jesus. A third benefit, and this is huge for some of us. If you can take captive your thoughts and make them obedient to Christ, you will find that it gives you strength to face your struggles. All of us struggle with something. All of us will have difficulties and issues to face, and sometimes a thought will flash through your mind. You can't handle this. You're not smart enough. You're not good enough. No one's going to help you. And these thoughts, if we allow them to stay, they will build a stronghold of doubt. They will build a stronghold of fear. But when you let the Word of God, we're going to look at this in just a second. When you take those thoughts captive, when you say, no, I am a child of the King, and He has given me all the power I need to handle this struggle. When you let that thought push out the thought, I don't have what it takes. I'm too afraid. I'm too fearful. No one's going to help me. You take those thoughts captive and replace them with, Jesus is going to help me. Jesus is always with me. I have the Spirit of God in me to face this. You're going to find that you have new strength. If you're facing something today, think about what you think about. It might be impacting the way you face your struggle. You start taking thoughts captive, and it will give you strength. Fourth benefit, I see this over and over in my own life and in people that I love. When you take your thoughts captive, it will give your faith deep, deep roots. There are so many people that I could list as examples right now that I look to because I know they're in a bad season. They're in a season of total uncertainty with their health. They don't know if they're going to live for another year. And yet, they just have this faith that it cannot be shaken. And it's so encouraging to me, just as a fellow follower of Jesus, to see other Christian people when they are just in the middle of it. Like they are up to their necks in the storm, and it's bad, but their faith is so strong. They just say things like, you know, it doesn't matter what happens to me, God's going to take care of her. It doesn't matter how this turns out, because I know God is with us. And you can see them making decisions and having attitudes and speaking as if their faith is so deep, like there's not a bottom to it. It's because they think correctly. When you take captive the thoughts of, oh no, what's going to happen? And oh no, this might be the worst thing ever. When you just start to take those thoughts captive and you replace them with the correct thoughts, your faith grows roots. And to be honest, a lot of us as Christians, man, our roots are so shallow. The first storm that comes along, the first drought that comes along, the first hot day or cold day, man, those, you know, we just kind of shrivel and our faith shrinks. And this is what happened to a lot of us in 2020, is our roots weren't deep enough because of the thought patterns in our life. And 2020 and quarantine and elections and murder hornets and all the things that happened to us in 2020, it just kind of shriveled up our faith. It's because our faith wasn't deep, and our faith doesn't go deep until we learn to take captive the thoughts that are anti-faith. Want your faith to be deep? You learn to think correctly. And the last thing I would say is if you can learn to take your thoughts captive, it truly does move you closer towards your destiny. It's so easy to buy the lie that, you know, this world is all there is. And sometimes even as a Christian, we get confused and we forget that we are just passing through, that this world is not our home, that there is something and someone else out there for us. We're a part of this world, but we are a part of the kingdom of God. This world, not eternal. This world, temporary, going to burn. God's kingdom, forever. And the more you take captive thoughts of temporary things and just things on this world and the things that our culture and our world want you to focus on, the less likely you are to be stepping towards your destiny as a child of the King of God, the King of Kings, the child of God. You have to understand, you have to get this thinking in your brain that you have a destiny, and it is to look like Jesus, to talk like Jesus, to act like Jesus, to treat people like Jesus. And the more you take thoughts captive that don't honor Jesus, the closer you get to your destiny. This world isn't your home. The things of this world aren't going to satisfy you. Only what Jesus has given you, only Jesus can ultimately satisfy you. If you can kick those thoughts out that other things can, you'll begin to move a little bit closer toward your destiny. So let's think about this thought. You can't delete a thought, but you can replace it. Don't you wish that when a thought came in here, you could just push the delete button and out it goes? You can't do that. Once it's in there, it's in there. You can't delete it, but you can replace it. You can take that thought that you don't want in there, take it captive, lock it down, make it obedient to Christ, and then replace it. That's really the secret sauce here. That's really the way you begin to take control of your mind, the way you begin to take captive those thoughts that are harming you and building strongholds in your brain. Really, the way you do that is replace a bad thought with a right thought. Replace a wrong thought with a right thought. Replace a bad thought with a good thought. It's the only way. You don't have to allow all those bad thoughts to stay. You don't have to allow all those wrong thoughts to stay. You can take them captive, lock them up, make them obedient. But then what do you think about? Well, you replace those bad and wrong thoughts with good and right thoughts. In our last series, Anxious for Nothing, we spent a lot of time looking at the beginning of the book of Philippians, and we've talked about this a lot if you've been a part of it. Paul is in, you know, lockdown. He is chained to a Roman guard. He is waiting to find out whether or not he's going to live or die, and he writes a book to his friends in the little town of Philippi, and it's the most joy-filled, it's the most optimistic, it's the most just Pollyanna-like book in the New Testament. It's so full of joy. And is so full of hope. And a man who's waiting to find out whether or not he lives or dies, a man who is literally in jail and chained to a guard, writes the most joy-filled, purpose-filled, hope-filled letter in all of the New Testament. And he kind of gives us a behind-the-curtain view as to how he's able to do that. At the very end of his book, he even tells us, here's the final thing. Here's the way you can face life with joy. Here's the way you can face life with hope. And here's the way you can take these thoughts captive and then replace them with something better, something good, something right. I want you to hear what he says in Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. This is the last thing I'm going to tell you. It's the most important thing I'm going to tell you. Fix your thoughts. Fix your thoughts on what is true. Fix your thoughts on what is honorable. Fix your thoughts on what is right. Fix your thoughts on what is pure. Fix your thoughts on what is lovely. Fix your thoughts on what is admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. That is a mouthful, isn't it? There's so much there. Basically, what Paul is saying is you get to choose the thoughts that stay in your brain. And if you choose thoughts that are harmful or doubtful or wrong or evil or lustful, if you choose to let those thoughts stay, they're going to mess up your life. But you can choose to think about other things. And this is what I'm talking about when I say discipline has to be a huge part of applying this principle. You can't do this without discipline. You can't do this without just having letting God give you the strength to do this in every situation. You have to discipline yourself and not let the thoughts that don't need to stay start to build a stronghold. Instead of just pushing delete, which you can't, instead of just allowing those thoughts to roam in your brain, you lock them down, you take them captive, and then you replace them. And you replace them with this list. Things that are true, things that are honorable, things that are right, things that are pure, things that are lovely, things that are admirable. Think about the things that are worthy of praise. Think about things that when you and Jesus are having a conversation, you can just praise God for. So you let these things stay, and when those thoughts start to build a stronghold in your mind, your life will change. Now I know that for some of you, the negative thoughts, the bitter thoughts, the angry thoughts, the doubtful thoughts, the worrying thoughts, the fearful thoughts, they have been kicking around in your brain for so long, and it might seem like this is an impossible task because that stronghold is just too strong. I'm telling you, it's not. The war that we fight, the weapons that we use, are not the weapons that the world uses. So you're not going to win this battle with another hour on a social media site. You're not going to win this battle with another hour of bringing in your favorite television show. You're not going to win this thought with a news channel. You're not going to win this war just by taking in culture. The only way you're going to win this war, the battlefield of your thoughts in your mind, the only way to win that is to discipline yourself. Take every thought captive, lock it down, make it obedient to Christ, and replace the wrong thoughts with all these right thoughts. Remember back in like 2019 when you could get on an airplane and travel across the world? Man, not going to Ukraine, it's killing me right now. I miss those people so much. I just want to get over there and worship with my friends in Ukraine. Some of you are watching. We love you guys. We miss you. One of the things that I think most people struggle with, other than flying, when they travel on an airplane, a lot of people just kind of freak out in the TSA line. Is that you? Have you ever been like through the security line and you don't know what to do? Like, do I take my shoes off or do I leave them on? What about my belt? Do I take my belt off? What about this jug of soup? Do I get to take this? What about my donuts? Can I take those? What do I put in my suitcase? It's kind of a scary thing for some people who've never traveled to go through this security line and then stand, you know, like you're under arrest and let something scan you. It can be kind of scary. But when I go through TSA, I say to every TSA agent, thank you for what you're doing. Thank you for what you're doing. Thank you for what you're doing. I appreciate you guarding over us because it's their job to look for and identify threats that might make it on that airplane. And so if they can find them early, lock those things down, and not even let them on the airplane, I'm going to have a safe trip. I'm not going to have to worry about anything happening. I so appreciate a TSA agent who does their job well. And you have to think of yourself as your own TSA agent, guarding what is allowed to stay in here. Let your thoughts just kind of pass through that scanner. Is this a good thought? Is this a bad thought? Is this a right thought? Is this a wrong thought? Is this a God thought? Is this an enemy thought? Where's this thought coming from? Where's it taking me? Is this a threat? Is this thought a threat to my peace of mind? Is it a threat to my joy? Is it a threat to my faith? If it is, I am locking it down. I'm not letting you take it. It's going to be captive. I'm going to make it obedient to Christ. I am locking it down. If you want to take back your strength, take back your joy, take back all the peace that you used to have. Some of you, if you want to take back your faith, it starts right here in the battlefield of your mind. We must be people who learn to discipline ourselves, to take captive every thought, make them obedient to Christ. My prayer for you, YouTube Nation, is that today and for the rest of your days, you would begin a process of disciplining yourself, taking captive those thoughts that are harming you, identifying them, locking them down, and then learning how to replace them with what is right and what is true and what is admirable and what is honorable, and to just focus our thoughts, choose to think about the things that we could say to Jesus. I thank you, Jesus, for these things. Your thoughts, the thoughts you hold on to, are determining the future you're headed to. What does the battlefield of your mind look like today? Are you winning that battle, or are you losing that battle? If you want to take back what the enemy has taken from you, you have to start to win the battle. Take thought, take your thoughts captive, make them obedient to Christ, and enjoy the peace and strength and hope and faith that will be a result of that. Thank you for joining us today. Next week, we will finish off this series called Take It Back with a message I'm really excited about as the King passes by. I hope you'll join us. Thanks for being here today. We love you guys. If there's anything you need, you can hit this email or you can comment in our comment bar, and somebody will be happy to help you and visit with you. Thanks for being here today. We'll see you next week.